What else is going on?
Time for What's Happening.
What's happening?
Schmoopy's not very flattering either, so maybe you're right. Maybe I should find some. Yeah. We talked a bit about this during yesterday's show, the story of the Alex Murdaugh murder trial. This is that attorney out of South Carolina, disgraced former attorney, is being pinned down to the location of his wife's murder and his youngest son's murder. They were murdered at the same time. But that they were discussing late yesterday and into this morning specific information about cell phone location data.
The cell phone always tells.
The property where they were found killed, it was a big 1,700-acre hunting property that they own or something like that.
Like in the kennels, right?
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they were discussing, could the cell phone location data put him on a very specific area of that property at the time of the murders? He says he wasn't there. He says he found them later. And then prosecutors say he shot them and killed them, went to his mom's house to dump some things, including the bloodstained rain jacket, and then went back and supposedly found him. And that's when he called the 911 and the police came eventually. But so that's an interesting, they're talking very specifically about the technology that goes into cell phone technology or cell phone location data.
It went down to like even the times that both phones were locked.
Yeah.
And if whether someone tried to use the wife's face to unlock the phone. I mean, it.
After she had been killed.
After she was killed,
Tom Girardi, indicted by federal grand juries in two states on fraud charges because of allegations that he took millions of dollars from injured and wounded clients. In Chicago, Girardi and his son-in-law and the former chief financial officer of the Girardi law firm charged with 8 counts of wire fraud, 4 counts of contempt of court. And in L.A., he was charged with wire fraud following accusations of embezzling more than $15 million from clients and then using the funds to cover his law firm's payroll and pay some of his personal expenses.
They talk a lot about the case, more than I thought they probably would, on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because I was, really invested in the show. I like all the Housewives franchises. And, of course, his ex-wife, Erica Jane. Are they divorced now? Officially?
I don't know.
Erica Jane, his wife or estranged, whatever the title is now. I know she had moved into a separate property, but throughout the seasons, the last two seasons, trying to skirt around like what the charges are. And then some of the housewives want to talk about it openly.
And she can't.
She says she can't, but then she does talk about things. And then a lot that was brought up over the last year was Tom's physical state or mental state in terms like,
that he has dementia.
Does he have dementia? Is that what's happening? Or is that just one of the claims?
Listen, I don't know.
We don't know.
If it were fake, it would be a great way to get out of, being held to account.
He was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in March of 2021.
By a doctor that he pays for.
But he's also living in a memory care facility. I don't know. Again, this was all starting to play out on the show, which is filmed long before we air it.
Right.
Usually months or a year, 6 to 8 months or a year before it airs.
Eagles offensive lineman Josh Sills has been indicted on rape and kidnapping charges 11 days before the Super Bowl. Mm. You don't know anything about Josh Sills. You're not alone.
No.
He only played in one game this season against the Cardinals back in October. The Eagles have yet to publicly comment on all of this. He would be scheduled to appear in court on the 16th of February, which would be after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're not. I doubt they will even comment.
And then quickly, just a bunch of flights have been canceled once again. At least 2 people have been killed as an ice storm has frozen a lot of the United States. This morning, FlightAware says that 2,300 flights have been canceled. Once again, the 2 airlines that have hit the hardest are American Airlines with 830 flights canceled and Southwest 672 flights canceled. And again,
which aren't they both? They're both hubbed out of Dallas. So
yes, they definitely use Dallas, Fort Worth, Dallas Love Field
for Southwest
and Austin Bergstrom are the 3 most impacted airports today because of the conditions.
Not saying don't fly Southwest, but who's flying Southwest right now? I mean, after that, I just feel like a lot of folks. Flight. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be, more attentive because of what happened during Christmas?
I have heard, don't quote me on
this. Aren't they giving out free drinks or something?
I have heard they're giving out free drinks on flights without making a big deal out of it. They're also handing out, billions of Southwest miles if people still want to use Southwest. So
I guess I'll book a trip and just make sure it's a trip where my days are flexible.
Right.
Just in case y'all start going back to that manual system of entering in flights. What were they doing? Their antiquated system of...
They've been warned about
scheduling.
It.
Scheduling? I don't know what they were doing.
That was
hey,
yes.
Let's play some Jeopardy, shall we?
Let's play.
Oh, there is theme music. Okay, great. I was wondering. Jacob, you're on it, as always.
Oh, that was me.
Oh.
That was me.
Sorry. Jacob, you're not on it.
Jacob's been asleep for an hour and a half.
Gary's on it. Okay. The category is Down in Africa.
Down in Africa.
For $1,000.
For $1,000. Okay.
Okay, here's the answer.
Yeah.
This North African country belonged to France for about 130 years until 1962.
North African country belonged to France.
For 130 years. Until 1962.
Is it that country?
No.
Can I get a second guess?
It begins with the letter A. I tell him he's right? Yes.
What is Algeria?
That is correct.
Yes!
Are they still taking guest host of Jeopardy? I should totally audition.
No.
Okay, just checking.
They've decided Mayim
Bialik.
On Ken Jennings.
Oh, doesn't Mayim do it too?
She does some of the special ones.
Oh.
Like she does like College Week, I think, something like that.
See, I haven't watched in a long time.
I'm not allowed to watch.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
Because.
Oh, because of this?
No, because it makes me.
Makes you sad?
Look like an old man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know where you're going.
It's a household rule.
Oh, it's a household
rule. If I'm outside of the house, I could watch anytime I want, but I can't watch it at home.
I'm sorry about
that.
That's
probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
There are some concerns of censorship in the Orange Unified School District after a newly hired superintendent decided to shut down the Sora app, S-O-R-A. It's a library app. There were some concerns from parents that it contains books that would otherwise be inappropriate for kids. So... the superintendent said they want to ensure that students are protected from content that is not age appropriate. A phone interview with a president of the Education Association, Teachers Union, said that they disagree with the speed that the decision was made and that they were not initially consulted because teachers unions often feel aggrieved about almost everything. And the superintendent is fully within his rights to do this. He's not saying he's banning it. He wants to review and make sure that everything is copacetic.
So this app is a K-12 student reading app. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to just make sure that certain books aren't accessible?
Right. There are supposedly safeguards in place, but we're talking about kids. We're talking about kids. And the thing that kids do is they find the workarounds. It's amazing how they do that, those little squirrely guys.
How are parents feeling about this?
One mother, back on the 19th, one parent described the plot of a book called A Polar Bear in Love that her second grader found, said was called Library Pass on a different app. Her school-issued iPad, a male polar bear asks to marry a male baby seal when they grow up and be older. The mother told the board, to be clear, this is absolutely not a censorship discussion. I'm not here to restrict a student's rights to information and to books. The concern is with the lack of vetting and surveillance of these digital libraries. Another parent raised concerns about a book called The Music of What Happens and was reading quotes from a book that her second grade student was listening to with the words F and S and had a quick discussion about rape. Because, you know, second grade. The book is obviously aimed at young adults and details an assault against a character and a relationship between a couple of high school boys. So the board vice president, Jose Ortega, asked for the app to be shut down immediately. The president of the board agreed. And the president, Rick Ledesma, said this warrants response. You want your child hearing this? This is probably the one time that it's been the most important to respond. You talk about taking care of kids, but you allow this under the guise of education. So it's clear that the school board, I would want them to react quickly. If they find that they overreacted, put the thing back on, make it available to your kids once again. But the idea that the school board should fight to keep this thing available to kids, if my kids had this on an iPad. Thankfully, my kids didn't have iPads when they were in school.
Yeah, right.
We didn't have to deal with stuff like this. But if I felt strongly that my kid should have access to these books, I'll find them those books. If I, on the other hand, feel like I don't know what they're reading and I want to keep an eye on the stuff that they're reading, I'm going to make sure that those apps aren't on those iPads. I'm going to make sure that they don't have access to the books. Not because I'm a bad person or a bad parent or closed-minded or bigoted or homophobic or trans or any of that stuff. It's just I want to know what my kids are reading. It's the same thing. I want to know what they're watching. So why would it be different? I have zero problem with the school district yanking this app immediately so that they can review it and make sure that the safeguards are in place to protect the kids.
When your kids were in school, did parents have input on reading lists? Were there ever books that were brought home that you said, this is inappropriate? I just don't remember having those conversations. I think the books we read in school were very diverse and varied. But I also don't remember reading books that were, the topics were, obviously we read books about slavery. But I'm saying, because I know that's a fight that's happening right now in Florida about censoring certain books about Black history. But I'm talking about books that were dealing with heavier topics like rape or incest. I don't think we had those books on the reading list. But we did talk about,
I don't recall any specific, but there were always, if we did get a note that said, hey, this might be a little, there might be some words in here, or there's a discussion about an assault that takes place or mm-hmm. something, it was an opportunity for us to say to the kids, hey, this is, you know, probably something you've never read about before. If you have questions, you raise questions, whatever, and you don't want to bring it up in class or you don't want to ask your teacher, you can ask us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think there were any books that our kids read that we hadn't read. I mean,
I feel like now we're hearing about this like every other week. Someone's, you know, putting up the flag about, stop that. We don't want those books read, or my kid can't have access to this. And I'm thinking, did we have these conversations?
I just don't think people were worried about, if you were going to write a book for a second grader, you weren't talking about a male polar bear asking a male otter to be betrothed later in life. It was like the male polar bear and the male otter just became friends. Like there was no...
Like, kind of like Bert and Ernie?
Wait a minute. Are you about to blow my mind?
No, I'm just asking a question. Like, we're just friends.
Were they just friends?
No, that's what I'm saying.
You better be careful.
Why? I'm just saying no one ever asked questions. It just wasn't.
But you're right. It was, nobody thought about it that way, I don't think.
I don't know.
On Wednesdays, we like to talk about what's going on TV. And it's time for What You're Watching Wednesday.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
What you watching in there?
Americans love television. They wean their kids on it.
USA television much better.
You've been watching too many of those live television shows.
Well, it's also starting to get into awards time, so you got to start watching some of those awards, you know, the nominated movies.
I got my screeners.
Like, did you?
I just have to watch some of them.
Have you seen any? Or what are you excited to look to see?
What am I excited to see?
We watched Hustle with Adam Sandler about the basketball.
I saw that. I enjoyed that one.
I liked it because
that's the one with Queen Latifah, right?
Yes, playing his wife. Mm-hmm. She, that whole movie was just a pleasant, it was a good, it was
unexpected,
a nice movie.
I thought, yeah, unexpected surprise is how I said about that, what I said about that one, because I wasn't expecting to like really like it, but I did. Yeah. What I've been binge watching lately, I just finished watching Ginny and Georgia. Season 2. Why are you laughing? This is real life. Loved it.
I know.
Right now I'm on Firefly Lane.
Netflix.
Yes, yes.
My wife made her way through. I'm pretty sure she made her way through Firefly Lane. I know she finished Ginny
and Georgia.
Uh-huh. And it was, she made no excuses for it. She said, it is fluff. There's nothing to be gained from it.
For Ginny and Georgia?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that too. But a couple of things that I've learned since thinking that way. Number one, when it came out, season 2 dropped early January, I guess. When it came out, I didn't know about Season 1, really. I never paid attention to it, but it was trending on Netflix. I think it was number one in 81 countries when it first dropped. Mm. And the more you watch it, you realize it's not just about this crazy murderous, mom who had her daughter like at 15, and now her 15-year-old's kind of raising her, running around lying and changing cities.
Wait, there was a murder in it?
Oh, you'd stay tuned. There's more than one murder in the movie, in the TV series. But there are deeper issues that are addressed, and I think that's why people are connecting with it. When you hear the actresses of the movie talk about, not the movie, of the series talk about it, when they're meeting people and how diverse their audience is, it's because they touch on things like divorce and mental health issues and teens harming themselves, depression, eating disorders,
right.
body dysmorphia. Like they're real heavy issues that are addressed. And I think for some parents who watch it, they're trying to understand their teens better, I guess.
Interesting.
That's a way of looking at it. They're watching it to sort of see if they can tap into some of the issues teens are having.
To learn the new language?
Not just the language, but some signs that may be popping up. Like in this show, you learn about the young girl harming herself. And were the signs there? Like if her mom's paying attention enough, did she realize her daughter's participating in self-harm at home, which comes up later? When is it time to go seek therapy as a family? I think they have real topics they discuss. And it's still a comedy, but there are real topics in there.
Just started last night. A new Apple TV series called Shrinking.
You mentioned that to me. Okay, so break it down.
So it's Jason Segel, I guess most recognizable most recently from, I don't know, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, the movie, but also, How I Met Your Mother. How I Met Your Stepmother, whatever it's called. I never watched it, but on TV. Anyway, Jason Segel plays a therapist. He, without spoiling anything, he has lost his wife and he's raising his daughter on his own, his teenage daughter. So there's father, teenage daughter issues. There's grief issues because he lost his wife. He is a therapist who works in a practice that's apparently owned by Harrison Ford, who is another therapist that works in the office. So it's Harrison Ford. Jessica Williams is another therapist there, Jason Segel. And what he does is he gets frustrated just telling, you know, just listening to people's problems and encourages them to be, then do something about it. You know, and one of the trailer, again, I'm not spoiling anything. He encourages a woman who is in this emotionally, verbally abusive marriage. He encourages her to leave. Okay, just leave your husband, right? He doesn't love you. He says he loves you. He doesn't. He clearly, if he loved you, he wouldn't say these things to you. So leave. So she leaves. Mm-hmm. Then another guy comes in and he's encouraging him to get over his anger issues by fighting MMA bouts. Like, so it's if you watched Afterlife with Ricky Gervais, any of those seasons,
I didn't.
It deals with grief in a funny way. I mean, there's still some very poignant moments, but it does use humor to kind of get its way through this grief. Now it's one of those on, again, Apple TV Plus, that is going to come out once a week, which is
you have to wait
so frustrating now. I mean, we so used to just Netflix will dump 8 episodes of something on a Friday. You're done with it before the weekend's over.
I like that. But then I also say, darn, what am I watching next? Which is what I'm dealing with now.
Yeah.
But who else does that? HBO or Hulu? Who else does the dumping of the series? Like, you can't watch all of
it. Depends. It depends on.
I know the Kardashians were like that on Hulu. Don't ask me how I know, but you had to wait for
you
the
have
drop.
A friend.
Yeah. You had to wait for the next one to drop.
We are still also watching Your Honor, which is on Showtime. This is this Bryan Cranston. It's season 2 of this. It was a great first season.
Oh.
It was great.
Add that to my list.
So
okay, Your Honor.
3 or 4 episodes into the second season. And just in terms of, I don't want to give any of the, I can't even describe the plot in the second season without giving away the first. So I'll let you watch the first.
Okay.
I will say this. When I saw Bryan Cranston over the summer, when the All-Star game was at Dodger Stadium, they do that silly celebrity softball game the day before. Mm-hmm. He took part in that, and he looked like a homeless man because his gray hair was wild, like a wild professor, and he had this massive, just grayed-out beard. And I thought, I hope that's not for season 2 of Your Honor, like why he's growing that out.
Was it?
It's for season 2 of Your Honor.
Okay.
And that homeless look is getting a little, it's dragging. It's
I want to go cut that beard off.
Right?
Yeah.
Are you watching it?
Yeah, I'm watching it too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a frustrating, like, ugh, okay, I get it. You were in, well, I can't even say, but
okay.
You were in a bad place. I'll say that. And we're episode 4 now. Get yourself a razor. Get some clippers. If nothing else, just trim it up. Just trim it up.
I don't like that look in real life.
It's awful.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
And they're making him look homeless for a very specific purpose. But it's pretty frustrating. But it's still it's a good show. The writing has fallen off a little bit. This last episode that I saw, the writing was not great. But
so they should have ended it already. You know, sometimes shows can go on way too long.
I'll still give it a chance. They can finish it out.
The one I mentioned was Kaleidoscope.
Okay.
The one that I don't know how to feel. It's a heist series. And it's one of the ones that you can watch in any order.
That's not a thing.
It's a thing. With this, you can shuffle the order. So, and I was watching one of the actresses from the show, which, by the way, it's a lot of talent on the show. I don't know them from their previous work.
It's on Netflix.
I know. I'm definitely a Netflix fan. I'm sorry. Although that might change. So you got the whole password sharing rules coming into play. So I don't really know. I know it's not expensive, but still. Giancarlo Esposito is one of the lead actors. He plays Leo. And it's about this heist that happens. I think it's loosely based on a true story. They're trying to steal, like, billions of dollars worth of bonds. And so anyway, it's a heist show and you can watch it in any order and they have color codes for each, like there's a yellow episode and the blue. So one of the actresses said she watched it in the order of like of the rainbow. And I did mine in that order. There's some extra colors in there, but I did mine in that order and it kind of made sense to me.
Yeah.
Like I started with red, then orange, then yellow. I went in that order.
I like the idea of it. I mean, one of my criticisms lately of some of these shows is that they're trying to mess around with timelines too much, right? Mm-hmm. And it became, that was the sort of the Christopher Nolan version of, what was the movie, Tenet. There was also Westworld became an issue. It was hard to keep track of the timelines, and that became their gimmick. This is an interesting version of it because the timeline... Well, according to the Wikipedia page for the show, it says the 8 episodes could be watched in any order, which means there are 5,000 plus ways in which you could watch that show, and it's somehow supposed to still make sense.
This one's supposed to still make sense, too. I've only done it once, and I'm not going to do it again in a different order because I'm not that invested. And after I watched it, I was like, huh, okay, decent. Yeah, it was okay.
Decent.
I mean, the way my ending ended, I was like, dang, that sucks. You know, like, I don't know. So I guess it just depends on the order you watch it in, but not married to the show. Just thought I'd throw it out there. That's one of the shows I wasn't really sure how I felt after, but you can watch it in any order.
I don't know how that's going to go. But King of the Hill is coming back.
Oh, Mondo's excited.
Yeah, he loves this show. Hulu has ordered a new run of King of the Hill, which originally ran from on Fox for 13 years, if you can believe that.
Didn't think it was that long.
Yeah, 97 to 2010. The co-creators, Mike Judge and Greg Daniels, returning to executive produce the show. Saladin Peterson joining to executive produce, serve as a showrunner as well. And Mike Judge is going to be back voicing the lead character as Hank Hill, which is pretty cool. The propane salesman.
Propane. And propane.
I wasn't really invested in this show.
Kick your ass.
Oh, well, thank you.
It was silly. It was goofy. It had some great characters in it, but other than, I mean, I didn't realize that it had been on for 13 years.
That's a long time. Who's the character that Mondo most relates to? Was it?
Wow.
Probably Bobby.
Bobby was voiced by a woman, wasn't it?
Yes.
Pretty sure it was. And then Stephen Root. Everybody knows who Stephen Root is. He was Milton in Office Space. He is back to voice Hank's friend, Bill. So amazingly, a lot of these voices are coming back.
Yeah, it says the original team. Even the producing team? It seems like mostly everybody's on board from the original team.
I don't think Luann's going to be back because...
Better Things star Pamela Adlon will once again be voicing Hank and Peggy's son Bobby.
And so, Luann's husband has passed away too.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, Tom
Mondo. Peggy. Could you bring us some happy news next time?
Thanks, Mondo.
Ugh.
Great way to end the show. Have you seen Stuber?
Yes, I enjoyed it.
I loved Stuber. I did. It was fun. I enjoyed every minute. I laughed the whole time.
Well, in the upcoming media tour for the next M. Night Shyamalan movie, Dave Bautista is talking about, and he was in Stuber, he's talking about not getting rom-com offers.
Yes.
Which is fun. I mean... He's Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy. He was in Blade Runner. He was in Dune. He was in My Spy, which was kind of a family movie. It was, you know, goofy. But he said he'd love to be in a rom-com, but he's never gotten a single offer to do one. And he says, I know I'm not your typical rom-com lead. I'm a little rough around the edges, but I look in the mirror and I say, Am I that unattractive?
I could see him in a rom-com.
Is there something that unappealing about me that excludes me from these parts?
Because in this movie he's playing in, the one you mentioned, the M. Night Shyamalan movie,
Knock at the Cabin.
This is like a scary movie? Or like a... What would you categorize this?
Thriller, suspense? I would say. Thriller? Okay. Suspense.
So I won't watch it. Yeah, anything that's suspense. I mean, I'm still traumatized over Sixth Sense. So if it's suspense, if it's thriller, I'm not watching it. But let me know how that goes. Can you see him playing a more serious role like that?
No. I don't like... I like him funny.
Yeah.
I like him being funny. That being
Guardian
said...
Guardian of the Galaxy, Stuber.
To go back to the first show that we were talking about today called Shrinking... Harrison Ford does a great job as a funny guy.
Really?
Yeah. Harrison Ford, his dry delivery on some of the lines in that show, Shrinking, are great.
Well, great. Didn't he have some funny parts like in Indiana Jones?
Yeah. I mean, he's a wisecracker guy, but I mean, this is a consistently funny character, which was nice to see. Especially, Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom or Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's Harrison Ford from 40 years ago.
Yeah.
This is a much older, Harrison Ford, but he still has those very dry deliveries on some of those lines, which are really, really good. In terms of the business behind all of the streaming services, Showtime is going away. Paramount Plus with Showtime is coming in. It's similar to what we do with Unsolved.
Okay.
With
How much
Steve
is this
Gregory.
Gonna cost, though?
The premium TV network is getting...
That's all I want to know. How much is this going to cost?
Getting its first name change in the 47-year history of Showtime. The latest example. They haven't said exactly what the pricing will be. I would assume it's probably the same one.
Okay.
The same price. I mean, there's going to be a lot of crossover. What I've realized now is that there's a lot of crossover. I have a function on my TV where I can search for a movie or a show or something like that. And based on the apps that are plugged into my TV... it will tell me which of those services shows that movie. So if I type in something like Arsenic and Old Lace or something from 1944, it'll tell me I can pay for it on Amazon. I can get it live from Vudu. I can get it on Redbox for a rental fee. Like, it'll tell me all of these different options. There's a lot of crossover, I think, on some of this stuff now, on some of the streaming services. So I wonder if this is a way to, cut down on that. I have zero problem with some of them consolidating. Mm-hmm. So instead of Disney Plus and HBO Max and Apple TV and Hulu and Showtime and Netflix, that we've got maybe three or four of them that are going to be give more of a selection instead of having all of those different services to pay for.
Well, you mentioned Disney Plus. Just want to say, just in time for Black History Month, Black Panther Wakanda Forever streaming starting today on Disney Plus.
Should have been one of the screeners you got, too.
Yeah. So I've seen that, though.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah. I went to the theaters to see that one, and I'm going to watch it again on Disney Plus. It's just, it's spectacular.
I maybe have to watch that
And you
tonight.
Do get some closure with the real-life passing of Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you do get that closure, and it's... you will have some moments of sadness watching
good.
In the beginning and end. Yeah.
All right. A reminder that KFI is giving you a chance to win a 2-night stay at Southern California's premier oceanfront destination, Terranea Resort, situated on 102 acres on top of that Palos Verdes Peninsula with endless views of the ocean. Winners are going to stay in the Ocean View Suite, play around a golf for two at the links, and have dinner at Catalina Kitchen. And you can unwind at the Terranea award-winning spa and wellness center, lounge by one of their four ocean view pools, or dine at their eight distinctive on-site restaurants. Go to Terranea.com to learn more about the resort itself. But you can also visit KFI AM 640 on Instagram and enter to win a stay at the luxury resort right here at home. Feels like a million miles away. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for having me. It was fun hanging out, Gary.
John and Ken show is up next. Stay dry, everybody.
That was a good show. I really like them.
Gary and Shannon.